Well, this week, as most of you know, Pastor Zach and his family moved to Montana, and I've been seeing Natasha post pictures of their travels, and I was thinking about them driving nearly cross-country with a car filled with kids and belongings and all these things. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminiscing of those big family road trips that I used to take as a kid. How many people took big family road trips as kids? All right. Now, I don't know about you. I was the youngest, so I usually, my position in the car was somewhere between the luggage squeezed into, actually, I think I was luggage. But, and so being in the car was usually not real fun. But that suffering was far outweighed by one thing, and that was the adventure of getting to stay at various hotels along our route. Do you remember those days? Do you remember staying at a hotel when you're a kid? I mean, yeah, I mean, we would get to go to other places. You get to go to camp, but there's spiders and all that stuff there. You get to go stay with your grandparents, but, you know, that's not the same. But a hotel, man, I mean, that was living, wasn't it? I remember we'd get into the hotels. First thing we'd do was jump on the beds because we're never allowed to jump on the beds at home. But who cares? We're in a hotel, you know, so you could jump on the beds. You had cleaned all the free towels you wanted, you know, so you could, like, have all kinds of fights and all kinds of cool stuff. They had a pool, they had a mini fridge, and all those things. And if you're old enough to remember, they also had those vibrating beds. Do you remember those in hotels? I remember when we were kids, man, we used to line up quarters just so we could, like, pump them into this bed and you know, try to talk to each other while you're on the vibrating bed and while it's going. And I remember as we were kids, we would also sneak the quarters in. My parents would be sleeping at night and you'd sneak it onto their bed. They'd wake up thinking it was an earthquake. All that fun, right? But staying at hotels, man, it was awesome, wasn't it? And as a kid, you know, hotel stays, they weren't a time to rest as weary travelers. Instead, they were a time for us to live it up, wasn't it? And make the most of our brief stay there. And, you know, this concept, really, we see it in Genesis, as we return to Genesis this morning, and we see this idea of living it up on display in Genesis 47. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis 47. We're going to go through this chapter. We've been in this series going through the life of Joseph over the past couple months. And where we are in the story of Joseph is he's in Egypt, and now he welcomes his brothers and his father to Egypt. It was here that God had placed Joseph for the purpose of saving his family and also letting God's promise to these people continue, because there was a famine in all that had devastated all this region of the world. So where they were living in Canaan, they had no food to eat, but Egypt had food. And Joseph had become a ruler in Egypt, and he was over who got food. So Joseph was one under Pharaoh, so he brings his whole family to Egypt now, and Pharaoh asked to see his family. So Pharaoh now welcomes his family. And what we see in Genesis 47 this morning is how this family, quickly becoming a nation, this nation of Israel, settles in this land, making the most of their time there. So hopefully you're there. We're going to just read through and we'll make comments as we go and kind of wrap it together in what's happening. So verse 1, it says, "So Joseph went in and he told Pharaoh, 'My father and my brothers with their flocks and herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. They're now in the land of Goshen.'" And you remember, he brought them to this land of Goshen, which is the most beautiful, the best part of the land of Egypt. And he said, "Stay here for a little bit." And they hadn't had permission to live there yet, but he said, "Stay here and we'll take it from there." Verse 2, he says, "And from among his brothers, he took five men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, 'What is your occupation?' And they said to Pharaoh, 'Your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were.' They said to Pharaoh, 'We've come to sojourn in the land, for there's no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen.' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. Then verse 7, it says, Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and he stood before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many are the days of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of my sojourning are 130 years. We looked at this last couple weeks ago. Few and evil have been the days of my years of my life, and they have not attained to the years of my fathers and the days of their sojourning. So he's basically saying, I'm old, but I'm not as old as my father and my grandfather were. And then verse 10, it says, and Jacob, it says this once again, Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them possession of the land of Egypt in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph promised his father, his brothers, and all his father's household, he provided for them with food according to the number of their dependents. And then we're going to skip down to verse 27, because following in verse 13 and following, we looked at that a couple months ago when we were looking at how Joseph was faithful and how Joseph allowed Pharaoh to prosper during this famine. So if you want to go back and look at that message about that, but we're going to pass down to verse 27 because they settle. Joseph settles them in the land. Verse 27 says, thus Israel, this family and this nation, settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So again, he's saying, I didn't live that long, but yet he lives another 17 years here in this land. And when the time drew near that Israel or Jacob must die, he called his son Joseph to him and he says, if now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. That putting the hand under your thigh was a cultural thing of trust. You know, you're putting yourself under me, so you're going to take care of me. You're going to hold me up. And he says, do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he answered, I will do as you said. And he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed. He was at peace. Okay, so Jacob says, you know, bury me back in God's promised land for us. Don't bury me here. So what we see here in chapter 47, real quickly, is God blessing, continuing to bless this line of Abraham. Remember his promise to Abraham continued through the generations after him, right? And the people of promise. But despite all that the brothers had done to Joseph, remember, they had betrayed him. They had left him for dead, then sold him into slavery and pretty much considered him dead, never thought of him again. But God preserved Joseph for this time so they could be saved. And now God brings this family to Egypt where Joseph has been placed by Pharaoh as a ruler, second in command in all of Egypt. But what I want to highlight in chapter 47 is how they lived when they were in this land. You see, even though the land of Egypt wasn't their permanent home, it wasn't God's land for them, they made the most of their time there. They lived it up when they were in Egypt. And in this, in chapter 47, what we discover is how we can make the most of the time God gives us. You know, in a sense, it's kind of a graduation message, or it's a message for any of us that are sitting here saying, you know what, God, I'm just kind of passing through this life. I wish there was more. I wish you had something or would show me what you have for me. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever felt like that? Well, then chapter 47 is for you this morning. It's for us to know how we make the most of our time. See, what we see through Jacob and his family helps teach us how to live today in our world where God has us. So that's where we're going to kind of jump off from here this morning. So our passage, it opens. Let's go back and kind of look at it. It opens again with these brothers meeting Pharaoh, right? Joseph brings these guys in, and they meet with Pharaoh about where they're going to live or where they're going to settle, right? And they're talking about this land of Goshen. I mean, even though they were staying in Goshen, again, that wasn't where they were living. They settled yet. But this land of Goshen, it was the best part of the land. It had plenty of grazing, plenty of water and other resources, so it would be perfect for them to live. But do you know what else? Because it was so perfect, it was a highly valuable place. So not just anybody could live there. This was like where the elites would live. And in this, when they start talking to Pharaoh about where they're to live, Pharaoh brings them in and he asks them a very significant question here. Look in verse 3. He says, what's your occupation? Right? In other words, well, what can you do? And the brothers, they share. Well, here's who we are. We're shepherds. We come from a family, a long line of shepherds. We know what we're doing with this. The only reason we're here is because of the famine there, or we'd be taking care of stuff there. But we're here because of the family, because of the famine, and we have nowhere for our flocks to graze. So we came here. And they say, we heard about this land of Goshen. It's beautiful. We've seen it. Maybe we could settle there. It's great for shepherding. So Pharaoh answers them, doesn't he? Verse 6, where he says, well, the land of Egypt is before you. And he tells Joseph, settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And then he says, and if any of you are able among you, take care of my flocks as well. So he's basically saying, all right, this is your occupation. Well, then settle and work here. And take care of my flocks before as well. And behind all of this, what Pharaoh's doing is, why Pharaoh's asking this question is he's making sure that these people sojourning, coming into their land, aren't going to be a drain on Egypt. That's why he asks, what's your occupation? Or what do you bring to the table? Or how are you going to take care of yourself? Parents, isn't that what we ask our kids as they're going to go off on their own, right? How are you going to take care of yourself now? I remember when I asked Debbie's dad for her hand in marriage. That was his first question. Well, how are you going to take care of her? Right? And this is what Pharaoh's saying. Well, what's your occupation? You guys are coming to my land. You want to settle here. You're not being a drain on us. So what do you bring to the table? Can you take care of yourselves? And here's the principle we see here. And it's a principle for making the most of our lives right here and now on earth as followers of Jesus. And it begins by being responsible. You want to make the most of life? Be responsible. And this is what Pharaoh's asking. Hey, are you going to be responsible? Now, where does all this come from? Well, when Jesus was here on earth, one of the things he did was he would gather large crowds and he would teach. And one of these teaching times was called the Sermon on the Mount. You remember that? You ever hear the Sermon on the Mount? It was basically practical instructions he gave to people who wanted to follow Jesus or were seeking to follow Jesus. And here's one of the things he told them in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, in Matthew 5, he says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Give glory to your Father who's in heaven. In other words, here's what Jesus is saying. Your lives should make a difference. They should stand out. Your lives should point others to me. So this morning, do you want your life to stand out? Do you want your life to make a difference? Everywhere you go, do you want that? Do you want to make the most of life, to live well, to make a difference for Jesus? It begins by being responsible with our lives and with our duties. You may be sitting here, all right, well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Like with Jacob's family, it means working. It means being faithful with what we've been giving so that we're not a drain on society. You want to live well? Then take care of your business. That's what we learn here. If we want to settle well, if we want others to see Jesus in us, guess what? Take care of our business. Pull our own weight. And the brothers, they share with Pharaoh, hey, we haven't come here to be a drain. We've come here to work. We've come here to take care of our flocks. And Pharaoh is so impressed by that, he says, well, then here, take care of my flocks too. I can use you. I'm looking for a good man. You see, being responsible, being a good steward of what's before us, you know what? It shows our world that we can be counted on. And it also gives us opportunities to share Jesus. I was just talking to one of my buddies yesterday about this, and we were talking about jobs, and he just started a new job, and he's kind of having some money problems and things like that. I said, you know what? Whatever job you get, if you're responsible in that job, you don't have to be great at the job. If you're responsible, you're going to go right up the ladder. Because most people aren't. Most people, they show up late. When they're there, they don't work hard. They just kind of skate around. So in our world today, guess what? Just being responsible stands out. So when we want to make the most of our lives, it begins here. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with just being responsible. It continues on. Look at verse 7. It says, then Joseph brought Jacob, his dad, in to see Pharaoh, right? Now, being in Pharaoh's presence was a huge, huge honor. I mean, today people go see presidents or they see the queen. This week, Trump even went and saw the queen. You could see he was all, you know, wanting to make sure he got it because it was a big deal. You know, several years ago when the Pope came, everybody wanted to see the Pope because it was a major honor. But Pharaoh was even bigger than this because most people thought Pharaoh was like a god. Most of the Egyptians saw him as a god. And meeting him, man, you'd be set if you met Pharaoh because he would take care of you. But Jacob flips the script a little bit. Just imagine this. I remember watching as the Pope went up Broad Street and all these people were just wanting the Pope to touch them, to bless them. Everybody wanted the Pope just to bless them. And that's kind of how everybody went to Pharaoh. Now imagine turning the script and you're saying, I don't want you to bless me. I want to bless you. Because that's exactly what Jacob does. Before Pharaoh can say anything to Jacob, it says, verse 7, but Jacob blessed Pharaoh. So here's the call for us in making the most of our lives, living it up. Be a blessing. Not only be responsible, but be a blessing to others. Our lives as followers of Jesus, it shouldn't be what we can get from others, but rather what we can give and what we can add to other people's lives as we follow Jesus. Simply said, God has called us to be a blessing to our world. You know, Paul was talking to a group of young believers, a young church this in the city of Corinth. And Corinth was a very wealthy city. People had everything they needed. So it was like very, you know, very worldly, very materialistic and all of these things. And they had basically everything and were looking to get more. And here's what he tells them in the second letter to the Corinthians. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he's distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And then he says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Here's the kicker. He says, so that you will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Here's how that boils down. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. That's what Paul's saying here. That's what Jacob's doing here. He's saying, well, God has blessed me. God has given me his promise. God will take care of us. I don't need Pharaoh to take care of me. So instead, I'm going to bless him. And he does. It says he does it twice. He does it as he comes in, and then as he leaves, he does it again. Usually when things happen in pairs in Scripture, it means wants us to remember. It's important. Take notice of it. You see, we're to be a blessing. Great question we can ask ourselves. Am I a blessing to those around me? Not only should we ask, hey, am I responsible? Am I responsible at work? Am I responsible at school or at home when I'm given duties? But also now, am I a blessing to others? When others are around me at work or in our neighborhood or my friends, they say, man, I need to have them around because when I'm around, it's good to have them. Good things happen. Do we give of ourselves to make the lives of others around us better? You see, this is what's going to open doors for us to share Jesus when we're a blessing. You know, when we moved over from Audubon High School, and we used to meet at the auditorium there, and we were coming over to Haddon Heights, one of the things I did when we first started over here was that I made sure to go meet the fire department, the fire chief, and I met with the police chief in Haddon Heights. Just wanted to say, hey, we're here. So I took the police chief out to lunch, and I remember we're sitting there talking for a while, and we're sharing stories, and, you know, he grew up in Haddon Heights, I grew up in Haddon Heights, so we're sharing all these great stories. And he looks at me and says, so you called this lunch, what do you need? I said, we don't need anything. The reason why I called you to lunch is I wanted to ask you, what do you need? What can we do for you as a church? How can we pray for you? How can we make your job easier? Are there things that we can be doing to help your work in the community? And it was interesting because when I said that, he kind of froze for a minute. He's like, I don't know. He goes, nobody's ever asked us that before. I'm like, what do you mean nobody's ever asked you that before? No, usually when people come and talk to me, they want something. I said, we don't want anything. We want to know how we can bless you. And it's interesting because that's how we started our relationship. And through that, over the last several years, man, I've gotten opportunities to pray with officers, to share Jesus with them. They've called us when they've needed our help or assistance with things. And they know, hey, we're different. We can count on you. And the new police chief, I was just talking with him. I said, remember, I said, I'm here for you. Anything you need, we're here for you. And he goes, oh, don't worry. You're the first church we'll call. Anytime we need anything, you're at the top of our list. So anytime they have a need, they know that we're there to be a blessing. You see, when we seek to be a blessing in our lives, we stand out, as Jesus says, as a light on a hill, a beacon of hope, positioned to better share Jesus with our world. That's making the most of our time here on earth. So you want to make the most of life? Be a blessing, just like Jacob did. And after Jacob blessed Pharaoh, then it says, you know, Joseph helped settle them in this land of Goshen, right? And now they're in this land, and now they can relax. They can just say, we got it set. We're like, sit back every day and do nothing. We're taken care of, right? It doesn't say that. What does verse 27 say? Look down at 27. It says, thus Israel, Jacob and his family, they settled in the land of Egypt and the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it and were fruitful and greatly multiplied. You see, they just didn't live. They just didn't exist. They prospered. They made the most of their time. Just as God had promised Abraham, they gained possessions and their family grew in number. And what we see here is if we want to make the most of our lives, we don't just exist, but we're to be fruitful. We're to make the most of everything that's before us. As God plants us right here and now, he's planted you in the family you're in the place you live, at the job you have. He's placed us there for a reason, and that's for us to bloom, to make the most out of life. In fact, God's placed us here on earth not just to kind of wait to die, so we can be with him forever, but to enjoy him and to enjoy his creation. Do you know God created this world? Do you know why God created this world? God created this world so that it could glorify him. God created us so we could glorify him, so that we could enjoy him and we could enjoy the works that he has. And when we're fruitful, when we make the most of what God gives us, what we do is we free ourselves then to be used by him and to glorify him in all that we do. In fact, that's what's at the heart of Paul's words in Colossians, where he says, "And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him," right? You see, sometimes we get the wrong idea why we're here on earth, and we say, man, we're here, you know, we're really just here for eternity, and, you know, so we're just waiting for Jesus to return. And while we're here, we better be watchful, we better be watching the clouds, and we better be watching our step, and make sure we're doing everything right, and we're just going to be here, and we're just waiting. Been taking Debbie to the doctor a lot with her hand, and that's how everybody is in the waiting room. And sometimes we think that's what our life's supposed to be. God's placed us here to enjoy him, to make the most of it. He's given us a job so that not only we can take care of ourselves, but that we can be good stewards of our money, so that we can do things, so that we're free to be used by him, so that we can work hard and succeed, and we can enjoy all that he's given us and all that he's created. We can enjoy the beach in the summertime. We can enjoy football. We can enjoy hobbies that he gives us. We can enjoy Six Flags. That's part of being fruitful. Sometimes we don't realize this is one of the ways that we're going to be known as God's child, as belonging to him, is our joy. People aren't going to say, man, I want what they have, because they just look miserable and they're just getting by. And God wants us to be fruitful. And that's what making the most of our life is. It's saying, how do I make the best use of my time? I want to make every minute of my day count. So be fruitful. But remember, our goal in accumulating things or enjoying things isn't just so that we can have it for ourselves. And isn't so we can just sit back and say, oh, I'm so great. It's so that we can give glory to God. It's so that we can invest all of that in those things which last forever. Because our possessions, they're going to go away. And all those things are going to go away. But we do all of that so that we can invest in eternity. And in this, we make the most out of life by being mindful. So we're to be not only responsible and a blessing and fruitful, but we're to be mindful. More specifically, we're to be mindful that this life is not the end. Eternity's coming, and this world is not our home. So even though we're enjoying all that God has, there's more, even better, coming. And even though we can enjoy this, we're investing in that, because heaven is our home. Jacob got this. For all Jacob had, they're in the most beautiful place in all of Egypt, the most powerful country of the world at the time, in the best place in this powerful country. And Jacob, when he's getting ready to die, he doesn't say, hey, this has been a great life. You know, I want to stay here. He says, no, even after I die, I want you to take me back home. Right? Isn't that what he says at the end of the chapter? He says, yeah, promise to deal kindly with me. Don't bury me in Egypt. This is not my home. Bury me where, in my father's burying place, or take me to my real home. So don't let me get distracted of just saying this is all there is, because I know there's more and there's greater. And that's where God has promised me that land. And just as Egypt was in Israel's home, this world is not our home. God is preparing a place for us to dwell with him for all eternity. So in the midst of our thoughts and our efforts here, we're to kind of be mindful in everything we do that this is why we're doing it, so that others may know eternity, so that we can share Jesus with them, one of those things that are heaven. This is what Jesus was saying in John chapter 6. He said, don't labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set a seal. So as we work, as you're at work tomorrow and you're like, I'm going to make the best of my time. I'm going to be a blessing there. I'm going to be responsible in what's given to me. And I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to be fruitful there. But above all of that, I want to do that so I can share Jesus, because he's all that matters. In me doing all of that, I'm doing it so that I can share Jesus, so that others may grasp eternity as I've been given it. So that's the overarching desire in all that we're doing, is we're doing all of this so that we can introduce others to eternal life in Jesus. That's making the most of our lives. Eternity should always be on our mind, so that we take opportunities to share it with others, share salvation, for that alone will last. So, as we embrace Jesus, embrace life. Live it up. God has placed each of us here for a very specific purpose and a very important plan. So, if he's placed us here for a purpose, making the most of our life is making the most of this purpose. It's being responsible with what he gave us. And when we make the most of our lives, when we seek to share Jesus through all we do, we live well. So how do we do that? We're responsible, just like we saw in Jacob. We're responsible with what he's given us so that we're never a drain. And we're a blessing rather than a taker. And we're fruitful, facing life and all that God has given us with joy, mindful of the eternal in all that we do. And in this, that's what Jesus is saying. We're a light on a hill, a city on a hill that can't be hidden. We live well like that. We make the most of our lives here. Everyone will notice. And they'll notice Jesus in us. And it gives us, and we're able to point our family and our friends and our coworkers to Jesus. So live it up this morning. Let's pray.